And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition, a powerful edition of Power of Prophecy. Got a great guest today. He's been with me a number of times. And let me just tell you right now, this man, Michael Hoffman II, he is the world's greatest Christian expert on Judaism. Not only on Judaism, but on the holy books of the Jews and even the Kabbalah, which is a holy book, all right. But as a Christian, we would call them unholy black magic witchcraft textbooks. But anyway, we're going to find out exactly what they are on the program today. And next week as well, we're going to examine the dark secrets of the Talmud. Now, let me very quickly tell you a little bit about why this is important to you and to me. First of all, the Bible, Jesus Christ himself, told us who the enemy would be in the last days. You cannot deny. You cannot deny. In fact, we should embrace the fact and take it to heart that God warned us of the greatest enemy of mankind and of Christianity in the last days. All of this is wrapped up in the number 666, the symbols of evil, the Antichrist, the image of the beast, all of the things, the horrors of the last days are wrapped up in the fact that there is one specific group, one religious cult that is going to bring the world the most supreme, monstrous horror. And God, in his goodness, in his prophetic kindness to us, because he said in Daniel 12, verse 10, the wise shall understand. The Bible says very clearly then that the most hideous, monstrous cult of all would be the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Now I have a book, Tex Mars' Book of New Age Cults and Religions, and I expose over 100 of the world's most dangerous New Age and occultic groups and organizations. But this group, the synagogue of Satan, is worse than them all. And in fact, many of the New Age and occult organizations that I expose in my book are affiliated with, led by, the leaders of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2, verse 9. Revelation 3, verse 9. God twice. I love the way God is redundant. God wants to make sure we don't pass over it. So he repeats it again in the next chapter of Revelation. It is the synagogue of Satan that we must watch out for. And the synagogue of Satan, the religion of Judaism, is where Michael Hoffman II comes in. Michael Hoffman II, I'm just going to call him Michael, I hope he doesn't mind, has written the most amazing book, Judaism Discovered. I wish every pastor of a Christian church in America, every Christian leader, every Christian, our so-called Christian president, would read this book. This is from the Jews' own text, the rabbis, their own holy book. You'll find out what Judaism is all about. You'll find out why it's unlike Hinduism. It's unlike Islam. As unholy as those religions are, well, as the kids would say, and that old saying, the cliche, this one takes the cake. This is it. Now, they have a holy book, and don't think it's the Old Testament. It's something else, and I'm going to ask Michael about that. And then we're going to get into it. Now, volume one today, we're going to talk about what is their holy book, what really is their religion, all right? And second of all, we're going to look at witchcraft and black magic. You will find that these people are satanic witches and shamans, black magic high priests. That's what the rabbis are. And Mike Hoffman is going to prove it to you. from their own words, from their own holy, most holy writings. And the second volume, I don't think we're going to get it to today, but next week, I certainly hope to plow into it. We'll be looking at sex. That's right. S-E-X. Sex. And even bodily functions. It seems that the Jews, in their official religion, they have a lot to say about bodily functions, even body parts, and about sex. And that whereas the Holy Bible, the Old and New Testament, are really quite modest in talking about sex, they're decent and not vulgar, you will be amazed at the heinous vulgarity and coarseness of the Jewish holy books. So we begin. Michael Hoffman, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Tex. It's good to be back.
Have you ever wondered about that? Those statements in the Bible of the horror of the synagogue of Satan, why God would identify that specific group for the last day's terror?
You're referring to me.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm sorry, Michael. Right. You're the one. You're the man. You're the author of Judaism Discovered and many other books, I might add, that we've been offering through the ministry, Secret Societies, Psychological Warfare. But back to that synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful that God would reveal to us the most horrible religion and group of the last days?
Well, yes, and I think, Tex, what's interesting is that in Revelation 2:9, the statement about the synagogue of Satan being based on those who say they are Jews and are not was so important that it was repeated verbatim in Revelation 3:9. So there's a distinct relationship between these counterfeit Jews and the synagogue of Satan, and yet this is policed out of what I call churchianity, because it's not really Christianity, it's just a church. And people go to this church, and it has very little connection with the Scripture, because they continue to worship, and if they don't worship, then they hold in awe people who self-describe as Jews. And that's the basis of a racial entry into a synagogue, or a portal, if you will, that is satanic. Because as soon as you're leaving Christ, and the Apostle Paul, neither of whom preached race, and you enter into a counterfeit race that poses as Jacob, but actually, beginning from the early days of Herod onward with mass conversions from the Edomites, are actually Esau. And then they are the ones who are saying that it is important for your salvation to be Jacob and not Esau. And then we're seeing the diabolical, treacherous duplicity, which is the hallmark of the synagogue of Satan. And so we have two hallmarks right here, as indicated by Scripture. We have the occult, in the sense of race, the magical essence of blood, and we have lies and deceit, in the sense that people who proclaim themselves as Jacob Israel are actually Edomites, or as that famous Russian communist actually Russian Zionist communist, Lazar Kaganovich, he was Stalin's second-hand man. The Zionists today like to pretend that they were severely persecuted by the Soviet Russians, but actually they were part of the incipient Bolshevik Revolution. Only very late in Stalin's career in the 1950s did he even begin to turn against them. But Kaganovich was Stalin's right-hand man, and Stalin was loyal to him throughout his entire reign and regime, and Kaganovich is notorious for having the Church of Christ the Savior demolished in Moscow and then standing in the ruins and announcing Mother Russia is cast down. Now, a Kagan in ancient Khazaria, which is an ancient realm that had existed east of the Caucasus, is one of the great rulers of Khazaria. And that's who we're really dealing with, Edomites and Khazarians. And, of course, you know, Tex, I don't care whether you're Chinese, Swedish, Edomite, Khazar, whatever the case may be, all of our sins can be washed clean in Jesus Christ. But when so many so-called Christians turn to these rabbis and these Judaics and want to get leadership from them regarding how to live a biblical life and are actually then initiated into these occult arts beginning with racism, then we've got the entree into the synagogue of Satan.
All right, now this synagogue of Satan is so horrible. the book of Revelation tells us that it, what we will see is the massacre of many, many Christians, and many will be brought to their deaths. So we're talking about hell right here on earth brought about, and it would have to be part of the black magic and witchcraft. Now, the first thing, let's look at the Talmud, because your book is Judaism Discovered, and you really focus in on many things, but especially the Talmud. Now, I'm 65 years old. I don't mind saying so. I spent 10 years in the chaplaincy in the Air Force. For the last 24 years or so, I've been with the Power of Prophecy Ministries, which I founded. And I was raised, actually, I was sort of raised as a, you know, just a heathen. But when we did go to church, we went to a Pentecostal church. But I was actually saved in a traditional Baptist church, a Southern Baptist. And I'm probably closer to Baptist, although I'm non-denominational, I'm just Bible-believing Christian. But here's my point. In all those years, knowing all the chaplains that I met in the chaplaincy in the Air Force, from all kinds of mainstream denominations, from Methodist to Lutheran, Episcopal, Baptist, and so forth, and of course being in the ministry and having preached, as I have personally, in churches across America, I can honestly say I have never had a pastor that had the courage to expose or even to mention the synagogue of Satan. And I've never had a pastor that actually, to be very honest with you, knows that Judaism is not the Old Testament. But in fact, Judaism, the religion of the Jews, is not based on the Old Testament, is it?
No, it's not. And you raise so many good points, it's difficult to know where to begin, because originally you talked about some of the horrors that were prophesied by the book of Revelation in connection with the synagogue of Satan. And what came to my mind was in the latter portions of that book where it talks about pharmakvos, in other words, magic by pharmaceutical poisoning, which is what we're seeing so much today with these drugs that instead of calling on God's natural cures that he's placed in plants on this earth for our well-being, out of greed and love of money, people pursue these artificial drugs and even some vaccines, which are very hazardous and have done so much damage. But a lot of people believe, Tex, that the Talmud, those who are apologists for Orthodox Judaism, will say, well, the Talmud is a very rational book, and if there is black magic in Judaism, it is more or less restricted to the Kabbalah. And actually, in point of fact, there is no division between the Talmud and the Kabbalah, first of all. They are a unified whole, unified part of Judaism, so it's a canard to divide the two. Usually, apologists will make a reference to Maimonides, because Maimonides was the point man for the Hasidic side of Judaism, where he had some criticisms of certain extreme elements inside the Kabbalah, which is not to say that he was not a Kabbalist, because he believed in reincarnation, and in order to accept that dogma, you have to be a Kabbalist. So there's different ways of approaching the evidence and making these various proofs. But in the case of the Talmud is also a book of black magic. It's just not the central doctrine of the Talmud the way the Kabbalah is. But for example, in the Babylonian Talmud, you have two rabbis getting together, and it's kind of a foreshadowing. We are talking about pharmakvos and poisoning, as mentioned in the book of Revelation. Here we have a foreshadowing in the Talmud of cloning, where two rabbis are to have made themselves a cow by using various magical incantations. Most people don't know that that's in the Talmud, and it is there. Now, whether or not they actually did, so much of this, these rabbinic books are filled with lies and fantasies, but it's still valuable as an archetype of what they were thinking and what they were hoping for, and now that has come to pass. I'll give you another example of what I would call black evil that's in the Talmud. I don't know if you would so much call it necessarily black magic, but at Moed Katan, in the Babylonian Talmud tractate Moed Katan, there is a statement that when you want to do evil, then you just go to another town. I'll read it to you verbatim. If a Jew is tempted to do evil, he should put on dirty clothes and go to a city where he is not known and do the evil there. Babylonian Talmud, Moed Katan, tractate 17a. Text, I ask you, what kind of a religion would advocate something like that if it was not satanic?
Well, a very sick an unholy religion. If you're going to do evil, do it in another town where nobody knows you. That's pretty interesting. Well, now, let's just look at this. You mentioned Babylonian rules and doctrines from the Talmud. Where does the Babylon come in? Because obviously no Jews would agree to something that's Babylonian. Is this actually the Babylonian Talmud that they use?
Yes, because there are actually two Talmuds. One is called the Jerusalem, and the other the Babylonian, or Bavli, as they abbreviated, B-A-V-L-I. But at the time the Talmud was being put together, after the Mishnah was composed, and we're talking 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th centuries, but in the early part of that time frame, most of the leading rabbis were living in Babylon, what is today modern Iraq, and not in Jerusalem. In fact, many of them disdained Jerusalem, particularly after the Roman general Titus razed Jerusalem in A.D. By razed, I mean R-A-Z-E, destroyed it in A.D. 70. And so they largely, these top scholars of the Pharisees, because that's what the religion of Orthodox Judaism is. It's the continuation and reanimation of the religion of the Pharisees that Jesus Christ confronted. And so this was their capital in Babylon to compose these texts. And, of course, while they were living there, they absorbed the myths and the superstition and the darkness of that occult empire. And so much of that has come into both the Talmud and the Kabbalah as a result. They do themselves admit that the Babylonian Talmud has the greater authority. The Jerusalem Talmud is mostly a nostalgic document. They do refer to it time and again. I hesitate to put a percentage on it, but one could say that perhaps 3 to 4% of the time they refer to the Jerusalem Talmud. The rest of the time, the overwhelming majority of the case law or halakha in Orthodox Judaism comes from the Babylonian Talmud.
Now, Jesus said to the Jews of his day that they had in their religion that it was based not on, you know, instructions from God, but based on the commandments of men. And he just noted how very wicked it was. And in fact, you know, their father was the devil, and that's why they were liars. What if somebody said to you, Michael Hoffman, so what? They brought back this evil set of doctrines, the Babylonian Talmud from Babylon, but that was the Pharisees and all. That was, sure, they were evil. They crucified Jesus, but the rabbis today are so much more westernized and cultured. Certainly they don't, you can't find any rabbis today that believe in this unholy Babylonian Talmud, can you? What would be your response?
If you're an Orthodox rabbi, then you completely believe in it. And actually, Orthodox Judaism is the only Judaism, Reform and Conservative Judaism, the two other main branches. There's also Reconstruction, which is really a far-out left-wing kind of thing, which just has a vague connection to Judaism. But the Reform Judaism, which is the Judaism of the majority of the American Judaics, and conservative Judaism, which is sort of a compromise between Reform and Orthodox, they're as liberal, if you want to compare it with the Christian Church, as liberal as the Unitarian Universalists. Most of us would regard the dogma that teaches that all men are going to be saved without Christ, which is Universalism, and Unitarianism, which holds that there are a cognate relationship between other religions of the world and Christianity, we would reject that, and we would say that's not really Christianity. And that's about how watered down Reform Judaism is. Conservative Judaism has a little bit of Talmud in it. But the real main Judaism is Orthodox Judaism, and the reason I say that is that the top, even if you're a secular scholar, a top scholar, or one of the top celebrities, he's not a scholar, but he's a celebrity, for example, Elie Wiesel, the so-called Holocaust saint or Holocaust martyr, has written extensively, written an entire book in praise of the Hasidic rabbis who are steeped in Kabbalistic magic and the synagogue of Satan. And you find this. Martin Buber was a very important Judaic academic who wrote another book in praise of this demonic, diabolic, occult Judaism. And what you find is that, like many watered-down liberal groups, they're only a pale shadow of the real thing. And so, yes, I would say that Judaism, above all, is expert at camouflaging itself, at putting forth a masquerade. And certainly, rabbis are experts at appearing benign and lying about the contents of the Talmud. They know the sound bites that they are supposed to articulate. They know what the Gentiles, or Goyim, as they call us, want to hear, and that's what they tell the Goyim or the Gentiles. But we have the proof text. We have the contents of the Babylonian Talmud and the Kabbalah, the Zohar, and the various other books, and also texts. We have what's perhaps even more important, and that is the fruits. As Christians, we are to be fruit inspectors, and we are to see what the fruits of this religion have been. And they have been not only destructive for Gentiles and Goyim, who have been seduced into wars against people who are not even our enemies, and being taken away from Christ. So much of the Judaic power in the world today is oriented towards casting aspersions on Christ, or saying that he got married, or that he never resurrected. And all of these things combine to be the very bad fruits of Judaism. So we have the text, and we have the bad fruits. And if we combine those two, we ought to be able to defeat the illusion, and that's all it is, that today's rabbis are somehow different from the ancient Pharisees. In fact, and I'll close on this point, in fact, I would say they're much more wicked, because they've had many more centuries to compound their evil. At the time of Christ, there was a battle. There were people like Nicodemus, and there were other Pharisees who were on the fence. And you had, of course, the Apostle Paul had been a Pharisee, and he converted. You see very little of that today. I know there's conversion stories of Judaics, but they usually maintain their racial pride, their affiliation with Israeli war Zionism, or as I call it, slaughterhouse Zionism. And in other words, they do not have the marks of a person who is sold out to Christ in grace. And I think that it's just another one of these tricks that these crypto rabbis who call themselves preachers of the gospel and ally with the Israelis, the Zionists, and the Talmudists continue to put over on what I call the dumb goyim, and often, unfortunately, many of our people deserve that term.
You know, Time magazine called a Rabbi Adan Steinsaltz the greatest Judaic scholar of the last 100 years, and they said that was because he had translated the Babylonian Talmud. So he became, and he has become known as the greatest Judaism scholar of the last 100 years because he's an expert on the Talmud. That's how important modern Jewry, the Jews, place on the Talmud. Now, in your book, Judaism Discovered, on page 533, Michael, there's an interesting news item there, and it's from the Federal Office, May 1995, and it has to do with Alan Greenspan being sworn in as chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. Now, you mentioned there that in the front row of Greenspan's swearing-in ceremony at the White House sat the authoress, I should call her, Ayn Rand herself, I'm reading right now from this document, who must have been amused by the sight of the ardent atheist, that's Alan Greenspan, placing his right hand, that's as he was being sworn in, on a Talmud held by his aged mother. So what we find here then, and you can confirm this, Alan Greenspan, probably known far and wide all over the world more than any other chairman of the Fed Reserve in our lifetime, was sworn in as chairman of the Fed Reserve at the White House and took the oath while placing his right hand on a Talmud. So obviously, he and other Jews, whether he called himself an atheist or not, he placed great emphasis on the Talmud. If he was an atheist, why didn't he just hold up his hand and swear on, you know, Mother Earth or something? This must have been very important to him.
That's a very good point, Tex, and it's a refutation of those critics who say, look, Hoffman, if the majority of Judaics in America are members of Reform Judaism, and Reform Judaism does not strictly follow the Talmud as Orthodox Judaism is, What's your problem with it? Well, you've just illustrated it right here. Here's Greenspan, who is an open, acknowledged atheist, and when it comes time to swear an oath, he chooses the Talmud to swear on it. And so the same is true of Reformed Judaics. What it is they don't want to be bound by the literally thousands of rules and regulations, talk about mind control and thought control, of the greatest tyranny that the world has ever seen, Talmudic control of these poor, tormented Judaic people who are caught inside of this prison. And so they reject that, but they maintain their racial, ethnic allegiance to the, if you want to call it, the props of their tribe, because as Moses Hess was someone who Karl Marx referred to as my communist rabbi. Now, Hess had not achieved actual rabbinic ordination, but he's very important in the founding of both communism and Zionism, and this is in my book. But Hess said the importance of the Talmud is that it unified the Judaic people and gave them an iron will to continue and to survive. So you can be in Reformed Judaism rejecting the rituals of this religion, but at the same time have a tremendous symbolic allegiance to what it represents, which is a sort of tribal or racial cohesion. And I've got a couple more comments, but before I forget, Tex, I just wanted to mention that Adin Steinsaltz, who you cited in connection with the praise from Time Magazine, is the Nazi, that's N-A-S-I, or which means prince, the Nazi of the reconstituted Sanhedrin, which was reconstituted in Tiberias and occupied Palestine. So talk about a continuation of the Pharisees. They've even gone so far as to reconvene the court of the Pharisees, and it is Adin Steinsaltz who is the head of that. Now, getting back to Greenspan, what's really interesting about this is that Ayn Rand's real name is not Ayn Rand. Like a lot of these change agents and masqueraders, she changed her name, and her real name is Elisa Rosenbaum, and she was born in Russia and then emigrated to the United States, and she represents the other wing of this Talmudic mentality. It expresses itself in totalitarian left-wing communism. When that's out of favor, it then manifests itself as predatory capitalism. Now, I'm not talking against free enterprise here. I'm talking about when you have a cult that holds up the motto that greed is good, that makes a virtue out of greed. And this is what Elisa Rosenbaum, or as she's known to her followers, Ayn Rand, has done in a series of books that were made. One of them was made into a film called The Fountainhead, and then the other one, Atlas Shrugged, is one of the consistent bestsellers. I believe it was published in 1958. This has influenced the heads of technology giants, corporations, across the board. Ted Turner once had billboards put up quoting Ayn Rand, and so we see a Talmudic mentality. This is, I think, a key point here, a Talmudic mentality manifesting through people who are ostensibly not Talmudic. Alan Greenspan is supposed to be an atheist. Ayn Rand is supposed to be an atheist. And yet what they incarnate in their lives is the Talmud in one of its two apparitions, because Judaism can appear, and I think that's one of the points I've tried to convey in my book, and that's why it's 1,100 pages long, because this is a very recondite subject. Judaism can manifest at will as one sort of chameleon or another. And right now, hyper-capitalism and greed are in vogue, and so it manifests through these agents like Greenspan and Rand.
All right, we're going to have to take a little break here. Let's continue this conversation on the other end. I'm with Michael Hoffman II. He's author of Judaism Discovered. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back with a lot of witchcraft, black magic, talking fish, holy water, rosaries, six-pointed stars. We've got a lot of things to cover. We'll be right back after this message. Judaism Discovered by Michael Hoffman, 1,100 pages, many pictures, many illustrations, and it's written in a way that anyone can understand what they're what they're reading, and yet you'll know everything there is to know, I think, of importance. I mean, I suppose Michael Hoppin could have written a 2,000-page book, but he tried to get it all into 1,100 pages. 1,100 pages. Now, that's about four times the size of the average book. It's a hardcover, and it is packed with such information. You'll find information that you, I mean, from now on, once you read this book, you'll say, now I know what Tex Mars is talking about. Now I know why Tex Mars is so opposed to the synagogue of Satan. Now I understand what the Jews really believe, what they practice, the Orthodox Jews. I had a pastor some time ago told me, said, oh, I know, Tex, you're right. The secular Jews of Hollywood, they're so evil. But thank God we've got the Orthodox Jews. Now, this man had a doctorate from Southwestern Theological Seminary, one of the top Southern Baptist schools, and he actually believed that Orthodox Jews were only one little step away from Christianity, and it would be, you know, terrible to say bad things about the Orthodox Jews. But in fact, Jesus said a lot of bad things about them. He said they're of their father, the devil. And as Michael Hoffman proves in this book, it is the Orthodox Jews of today who are the same as the Pharisees of Jesus' day. You've got to get this book. All the witchcraft and black magic you will find in the Jewish religion is amazing. You'll find where they actually are sacrificing chickens in voodoo rituals and sprinkling the blood about. You'll find where they actually eat little cookies that are shaped like a man called Hamantaschen, and they actually gobble these. You'll find that there is such a thing as sacrifice of little children. I mean, all of these things, what do they do with the blood of the sacrificed child? Do they really put it in their matzo balls and their soups? And I know you say that's too incredible. Surely Orthodox Jews don't sacrifice little children. Well, Michael Hoffman doesn't say that all of them do, but some do. There is this horror that has gone on over the centuries. And he quotes Rabbi Toaff, for example, one of the top rabbinical scholars in the world, as affirming the murderous ritual of the sacrifice of innocent Gentile children by jaded, satanic Jewish followers. So you must have that. A divine mandate to kill Jesus Christ and Christians. That's right. Sexual intercourse with little girls is permissible. You say that can't be. Yes, child molestation is permissible in Judaism. And you'll learn about, I know it sounds incredible, the Talmud in the toilet. Even their toilet habits are described as to what they should do and shouldn't do when they're in the toilets. It's almost incredible. I want you to have this book. I'm almost flabbergasted. I can't speak the way I usually speak to you today because I'm thumbing through this book, and there's so much to it. Every page is a revelation. It will illuminate your mind, to use that term. And you'll say, do you know what? Now I know what Jesus meant when he said your father is the devil. When he said you encompass the whole world and make one disciple, he told the Jews, and you turn him into twice the devil you are. When Jesus said the house of Israel is left desolate, desolate, devoid of any spiritual value. I know why now, because I have read Michael Hoffman's book, and it tells you what they really believe. Now, folks, listen, if you want a Bible, I'll give you one free. If you can't afford one, write to me, and I'll give you an inexpensive Bible free. We send them by the caseload sometime to prisons so that prisoners can have access to Bibles. But you can't go to a synagogue and get a free Talmud. You can't get it. They're not going to give it to you. They're prohibited from giving it to a Gentile. I'm going to ask Michael Hoffman about that when we come back. They don't want you to know what's in it. Now, friends, there's no other book like this in the world. There have been a few people in the past that tried to put out books sort of like this. I remember Elizabeth Dilling back in the days of FDR did it. And you know what? she was actually indicted for a hate crime by the FDR administration and given a trial at court. And that's probably what they'd like to do to Michael Hoffman. They'd like to cut off his head, behead him. Well, why not? That's exactly what the Talmud says you can do. The best of the Gentiles, kill, says the Talmud. And you'll find that in this book too. Everything in here, it's the most horror, page after page. This is the most horrible religion in the world. I have studied the depths of Satan. I have studied the Church of Satan set up by Anton Zander LaVey, who, by the way, was a Jew. And I've never seen the horror of a religion like this. Satan had to have written the Talmud. Satan himself, I believe he was inspired. Just as the Holy Bible, the New Testament, was inspired by God. Men of God wrote as God powered them to do so, through the Holy Spirit. So Satan has given his authority and power to satanic disciples to write the holy book of the Jews. And if you don't believe it, get this giant hardcover book, 1,100 pages by Michael Hoffman. I have never recommended a book more than this book. This is the enemy we face in the last days. This is the synagogue of Satan. This is the enemy that will put you in a gulag concentration camp, torture and kill you, and think they're doing their God service, and their God being Lucifer, they are doing him service. They will kill you because their holy book says, kill the best of the Gentiles. They say our Master, Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ is nothing more than a bastard, and his mother is a unholy whore. They say that. It's in their holy book. And then they're invited to the White House. The White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, is one of them. Oh my goodness, we're in trouble. We're in big time trouble. You've got to get this book, Judaism Discovered. You will admit, I've recommended a lot of books on this program, but never have I ever recommended one to the extent of Judaism Discovered. Now, it's $45, and I don't even know how it can be produced and sent out to you and everything for that low price, being this huge encyclopedic reference book as it is. $45. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. And Michael Hoffman has promised us he'd give us as many copies as we need, and we're going to keep sending this around the world. It's available on powerofprophecy.com. That's our website, powerofprophecy.com. Don't go to your bookstores, although you can go to your bookstores and ask them to order it. Yeah, go ahead. Say, would you please order Judaism Discovered and carry it on your shelf? I think that's a good idea. Put a little pressure on them. But if you want to make sure you can get a copy, because most bookstores are frightened to death, don't tell them everything it's about. Just say, hey, I'd like Judaism Discovered. Can you order it through this bookstore? I think it's a good idea. But in any case, you can get it direct from us. And you can order it, $50, that's postpaid, simply by sending us a check, money order, cash, to Power of Prophecy, 1708. That's 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also call us in the United States and Canada. Our toll-free number is 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time, 8 to 5:30. Ask for the book by Michael Hoffman, Judaism Discovered. Friends, I'll tell you what, you won't be disappointed. If you don't like the book, you could return it to us. See there? See? I don't mind. But I think God will mind, because God wants you to have this book. The Apostle Paul said, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. God wants you to know these things. He wants you to know the truth. And this book tells the truth. It's sad. It's tragic. It's horrific, horrendous, but it's the truth. And that's what we're all about here at Power of Prophecy. Let's return now to our program. My special guest, Michael Hoffman. We're talking about witchcraft and black magic of the Talmud. What we don't finish today, maybe we'll take up next week. We're also going to look what the Talmud says about sex, the sex act, sexual perversions, bodily functions. Is it okay to have sex with children, oral sex? Is it okay for a woman to get an abortion? How about menstruation? Are there special rules? How about something about you can have sex after you've been married with a woman for a certain number of years, but you have to put a hole in the sheet and take it to bed with you? There's some strange things in the Talmud. I want to talk about urine on Jesus' picture and what that has to do with the producer of one of the most popular TV shows next week. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about Roseanne Barr, who at a San Diego Padres baseball game spit three times on the ground and grabbed her crotch, and what that has to do with Judaism, and many things more next week. But right now, Michael Hoffman, welcome again to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Tex, and thank you for that very lavish praise of my book.
Well, it's your book is more important than my books. I must tell you, I've authored 42 books, but this one is right to the meat of what we need to know today. Now, I want to apologize to the audience first, Michael, real quickly. In your book, you have the story of Alan Greenspan as his hand sits on the Jewish Talmud as he gives the oath of office. Actually, that was the oath of office when he was made the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors in the Gerald Ford White House. Now, later on, I'm sure he put his hand on the same book for becoming a chairman of the Federal Reserve. But I just wanted to clarify, that's what I read from your book. So there are two different swearings in. I might want to mention a couple of things in that regard before we get going. That Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice, she's Jewish, and she also put her hand on the Jewish Talmud. I have a picture of that when she was sworn in as a Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I have an article, and maybe I can get it out and send it to you, Michael, where she was interviewed, and she states, matter-of-factly, that the Jewish Talmud, she just calls it simply the Talmud, is her daily, is her guide, let me get it correct here, she said, it is my guide for daily living, and I use it religiously in making decisions in my judicial court work. So I want to say that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg says that it's her guide for daily living, and she uses it in coming to decisions on federal courts as a judge. Again, whether this is constitutional, I think if Scalia or one of the Christians on the court said they went to the Holy Bible to use that to make their decisions, I think they would be scalded, and I don't know what else would happen to them. Do you think that might be the case, Michael?
I'd enjoy having that documentation if you could send it to me. And yes, that certainly is. That sort of disparity holds forth in Washington, D.C. And I would also add that I don't think Ginsburg is quite as dangerous as the other Supreme Court Justice, Antonin Scalia, because a lot of us would be wary of Ginsburg from the outset, whereas Scalia poses as a conservative. He's actually very close to Nathan Lewin, with whom he went to law school, L-E-W-I-N. And this fellow assists at a school for attorneys and other people involved in the legal trade so that they can understand the Talmud better. And Scalia has not only spoken at these events, but he's actually cited the Talmud in one of his Supreme Court cases.
Wow. Cited? Well, you know, he'd probably be impeached if he cited the New Testament. Let's cover some things on witchcraft and black magic. We've only got about 15 minutes. I'd like to get as many as we could. Had a picture that I saw. Actually, it was a YouTube video, and I saw pictures in newspapers. And you have several photographs of rabbis in their black outfits holding up a chicken, and the chicken was being sacrificed in this ritual. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's Kaporet, as it's called, and it's really starting to come into disrepute as a result of the animal rights activists. You'd think Christians would object to it, or anyone who is opposed to the occult, but the only way it's having its feathers trimmed, if you'll pardon the pun, is as a result of some animal rights activists who become aware of this. But yes, they call it schlugging. When they hold the chicken over their head, that's called schlugging. And then you spin it over your head, and you recite a blessing, and then you transfer your sins to this chicken. And now, if that was the case in Santeria, the voodoo religion of many of the people from South America, it would probably be understandable. But if it's the religion of these Orthodox Judaics, who, as you refer to a scholarly friend of yours, who said that they're just one step away from Christianity and we need to be nice to them, and of course we need to love them and not hate them, I think that goes without saying. We hate the sin and love the sinner. This broadcast today is all about having compassion and wanting people who are trapped in this system to find Christ. So there's no hate here. We do this, what we do, out of love. But nonetheless, people are severely deluded. And as you refer to that fellow thinking that Orthodox Judaics were somehow on our side, and yet here they are engaged in voodoo. And earlier you mentioned child sacrifice. And while I have absolutely no evidence of this going on today, except insofar as Palestinian children are being sacrificed in the various Israeli slaughters, as Judge Goldstone, himself a Judaic, documented in his report to Gaza, the massacre in Gaza, we do know from Dr. Ariel Toa's book, Pasque di Sangue, or Blood Passover, which was briefly published in Italy and then immediately suppressed and taken out of print, that this does have a historical reality. And I should preface my remarks by saying that Dr. Toaf, who was an Israeli professor, his father was the Grand Rabbi of Rome, who Pope John Paul II met at the synagogue. He was the first pope in the history of the Roman Catholic Church to meet a rabbi inside a synagogue, and that's the rabbi who he met. And this, his son, affirmed that Judaic ritual murder on the part of the Ashkenazi Judaic communities of North Italy did take place. Their wizards and their adepts stole and crucified Christian babies. They obtained their blood, and they used this for magical rituals, evoking basically the spirit of vengeance against the hated Goyim. Now, it would be wrong to say that even a minority of Judaics are involved in this today. As I say, I have absolutely no documentation concerning any contemporary rites. But I think that what this testifies in this narrow band of documentation that Dr. Ariel Toaf was able to bring out, and then was almost immediately threatened with jail, the loss of his job, and then the book was suppressed, it shows a satanic level of hatred text, which only is possible coming out of the occult. You can't hate at this level, hate people so badly that you want to sacrifice their babies without having Satan and demonic spirits involved. So that's one more example of what we're talking about today.
Well, you know, I mentioned Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan that became, you know, well, Jane Mansfield, Sammy Davis Jr., many other entertainers became part of that, was Jewish. And one of his textbooks was written by a Jew who called himself Eliphas Levi. And, you know, in studying the New Age movement in the occult world, I find that the works of Eliphas Levi are celebrated and honored. You know, even Albert Pike, former Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry. Has it been your experience that witches, black magic practitioners seem to found their practices on the Kabbalah and the Talmud to a great extent?
Oh, it's the root of the whole thing. I would defy anybody in the West to point out any other book that has had a more salutary impact on these occult secret societies and demonic groups than the Talmud and the Kabbalah. And by the way, those rabbinic texts have the very highest prestige inside those demonic groups. Is that a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that occultists throughout time have been keen on having people study these books and secret rituals and rites? That's basically what Freemasonry and the Western occult societies like the Rosicrucians and the Ordo Templi Orientis have been all about, introducing people to rabbinic occult texts to people who would not normally encounter them because they are not themselves Judaic, and it was considered to be a great privilege that you were part of this secret society or this devil-worshipping group, and you then had the higher initiation into these books. So, yes, you're absolutely right. At the very core of the satanic and demonic groups in the West is the Talmud and the Kabbalah. There's no doubt about that.
All right, now let's go to two other things that are called holy by Jews. One is holy coins. You talk about on page 542 of your book, holy coins with rabbis' images on them that seem to give powers to people, supernatural powers. And I recall that Madonna, when she went over to Israel to visit, she and her friends, they all wanted to drink holy water. And evidently, the rabbis were sending out all over the world this holy water that some somehow had magical qualities to it. What are these holy coins and holy water?
Well, I think what they are, Tex, in fact, I know what they are, is they're exactly what Luther protested when he went to Rome and he saw the Catholic Church before the Counter-Reformation had, not all of it, of course, but certain elements of it, had gone over the top with selling indulgences and offering these bogus relics for money, basically the sin of simony, the same sin that Simon Magus had committed in offering money for spiritual favors in the New Testament. And what amazes me is that the hypocrisy of these various Protestants who will batter and bash Catholics about their superstitious relics and about money that is charged for these things and then are absolutely oblivious about the same phenomenon going on inside Orthodox Judaism. Yes, absolutely. Images of the Gedolim, G-E-D-O-L-I-M, that is to say the most distinguished and authoritative rabbis, adorned Judaic homes and synagogues, and these images appeared on gold and silver coins, and what is worse, they also make magical amulets. I have here in my library a handbook on how to make magical amulets that comes from an Orthodox Judaic seminary in the Israeli state, and I imagine some so-called Christian evangelists have gone to that seminary and they bowed and scraped and told the people how wonderful they are in there. I wonder what God thinks of these so-called evangelists when they are actually encouraging these Judaics to continue in their sins. And these are not some ordinary sin of stealing a loaf of bread or something of that nature. We're talking about the most frightful kinds of sins against even the Holy Spirit that is going on here in this manufacture of magical amulets. They also will have, you can also have somebody go to the Kotel, that's K-O-T-E-L, the Western Wall, some people refer to it as the Wailing Wall, supposedly the remnant of the Temple of Jerusalem. The best academics today say that it's not, it's another rabbinic hoax. It's not part of the original temple. But nonetheless, you can pay some big bucks to have a rabbinic scholar or rabbi go to that wall and offer various prayers for you. And they will do chanting. They will do vain repetition, as Jesus referred to it. All the things that Protestants object to inside Catholicism are quite often found in Orthodox Judaism, and yet not a peep out of these hypocrites when it comes to these terrible acts of superstition inside rabbinic Judaism.
You know, you mentioned the amulets, the charms, the beads. There's also the string, the little red string they put around their wrist. And I noticed that Madonna, Britney Spears, and many others wear these little red-colored bracelets. Actually, they're just little arm, you know, little wrist bands, usually red color. So I guess the colors have some kind of spiritual significance. I noticed that Bill Clinton wore one for a long while. Of course, Hillary Rodham Clinton, her grandmother was Jewish and spoke Yiddish. And then his daughter, Chelsea Clinton, it was recently announced that she's marrying a hardcore a Jewish guy. So the Judaism, I wonder if we dug a little deep there, were able to get the birth certificates and such, we wouldn't find that Bill Clinton's father, mother, et cetera, were Jewish. There's something to that.
Madonna's red string there, if I may just interject, Tex.
Yeah.
Judaism is all about blood, whether it's the blood of the manipulation of the blood of the innocent or menstrual blood. Either way, they believe there is tremendous power in blood. Now, we Christians know there's tremendous power in the blood of Christ. We also know that Satanists often reverse things. So you'll have the Christian mass, and then you'll have the black mass. And so you'll have the blood of Christ, and then you have the satanic blood, the blood that they worship in the form of this menstrual blood. And also, as a result of the prophecy concerning the red heifer, red has a tremendous Kabbalistic significance, but I think essentially when you see these people tied up with these things, it's a symbol of their bondage. And Madonna can be queen of the world as a result of the powers of the devil, which has been given her through her practice of Kabbalah, but she has to live in fear that if she is ever to repudiate those practices, then these same powers are going to turn against her. So we have the red symbolizing blood and the Kabbalistic red heifer, and we also have that string as a symbol of their bondage to these strange gods.
Mm. You mentioned they can be cursed. I suppose you mentioned also earlier incantations. So incantations and spells and curses are very common witchcraft tools of rabbis.
Everything that you see in ancient Babylon, among the soothsayers, among the workers of iniquity in Babylon, you're seeing in Judaism, including the evil eye and reincarnation. Both of these are occult doctrines, and both of these are core beliefs inside Orthodox Judaism. We have to remind our listening audience, Tex, that so often when you bring up this issue of the occult inside Judaism, a Christian preacher who has been trained or indoctrinated by rabbis or their fellow travelers will say, oh no, that's all in the Kabbalah, and most of Orthodox Judaism does not believe in it. They only believe in the Bible and then the Talmud. This is not true. This is a lie. And I happen to know some so-called evangelists that preach that even around here where I'm based in North Idaho. It's absolutely not true. So I wanted to preempt that, and people who read my book will understand it takes a good deal of documentation in order to establish this. But at the same time, however, one could as easily resort to the library or go on to Amazon.com or something like that and look up the books of Elie Wiesel and Martin Buber and see how they praise, as we noted earlier, these Hasidic Judaics. And in fact, as George W. Bush and every president from Ronald Reagan to George W. Bush, I don't know whether Obama's going to do it or not, has had the Hasidic Judaic Chabad Lubavitcher group in the White House, and they've even passed a public law in honor of the head of that group, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and this group is unimpeachably completely saturated in Kabbalah. So how are these apologists for Judaism going to get out of the fact that a supposedly upright Christian president like George W. Bush was entertaining these people, and Ronald Reagan and others have signed into law this public law, an Education Day law, which relates to the phony Noahide laws. I say phony because the Talmud has no esteem for the true biblical Noah. We're talking about a Talmudic Noah, and we're talking about Noahide laws that make idolatry a capital offense, in other words, punishable by death, and they regard worship of Jesus Christ as idolatry. So all of this is tied up with Hasidic Judaism, and Hasidic Judaism, in turn, is unmistakably and unimpeachably entwined with the Kabbalah. And so I find that this canard about most of Orthodox Judaism being separate from it, they largely use Maimonides in order to promote that front. And as I say, the documentation is in my book, Judaism Discovered, to demolish that.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Michael Hoffman. He's been my guest today. And we've looked at Judaism Discovered, his book, from the perspective of the witchcraft, black magic, and occultism that is common practice in the doctrines and practices of Judaism. You must know what the synagogue of Satan is all about, what they believe in, what they want the whole world to be immersed in. And it is really just a destructive, horrible, satanic religion. Now you see why I, a Bible-believing Christian, and Michael Hoffman, also a Bible-believing Christian, oppose this travesty, this terrible satanic religion. Okay, Michael Hoffman, thank you so much for being my guest today. I look forward to next week's program.
It's great to be here, Tex. Thank you.
Judaism Discovered. Order at 1-800-234-9673. Powerofprophecy.com. You'll also see it pictured there right on the home page. Click onto it and order it. And be with us next week because we're going to have part two, Sex, Bodily Functions. Oh, my goodness gracious. Right here on Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God.